It's good to be back with you again. I was in our sister rock in Salt Lake City last week. And, I was thinking about what Dan was sharing during the announcements. How many lives God has changed. And how Christ enters into our life and just transforms a life is an amazing thing. And I just had the privilege of meeting so many young men and women last week, very similar to here. And they meet downtown Salt Lake City. And I just met one broken person after another whose life had been changed by Jesus Christ. And some of them have been writing me over the years. And so I finally got to meet some of them. And it was a very, very special weekend for me. I'm going to do something a little different this evening. I've taken risks before, but this one may fall flat on its face. I guess we'll find out. I want to talk to you tonight about something extremely practical, but rooted in the Scripture. And the Bible gives us wisdom in all kinds of areas of our life. David says in Psalms that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Put another way, I'm sure you all remember when you were little kids watching The Wizard of Oz, right? Your first horror film. Oh, I used to go around the house singing that. My wife doesn't like that. I think it's called obsessive. I don't know if it's ADD. I don't know what it is. Sometimes something just comes over me and I just have to be those monkey guys, you know, in The Wizard of Oz. But there's a profound allegory in The Wizard of Oz when Glinda tells Dorothy to follow the yellow brick road. The Bible is very, very similar. God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. In other words, without the word of God, without the wisdom of God, we live in total darkness. We have no idea which way to go. And if you look out in the world in which you and I live, you see the consequences in people's lives and in the relationships of living in darkness. They're bumping into each other. They're ruining their life. They're making really bad decisions. And life is not working for the vast majority of Americans, for the vast majority of people in the world. It just doesn't work the way God intended. Because you and I cannot live without the light of God. And the light of God for our life is the Word of God and the wisdom of God. And God speaks His wisdom into all facets of our life. Now, we started 4 weeks ago a series entitled Habits to Change Your Life. And this is rooted in Galatians chapter 6, where the Bible says, do not be misled. Another way of saying, don't get punked. And that's the devil's main objective in your life, is to punk you out, to make a fool out of you, to make lies pretending that they're truth. And you live your whole life based on the premise that they're true, and then you find out at the end of your life, the middle of your life, wow, I got punked. Do not be misled. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Whatever habits you choose will determine your life. Habits are choices that we make in our life over and over and over and over again. And those habits lead you to a destiny. They lead to an outcome in your life. They bring about consequences. As sure as planting seeds in the ground, you're going to reap what you sow. And the Bible then goes on to say that if you sow to your selfish, sinful desires, if you sow to please yourself, you'll reap the consequences of brokenness, decay, and death. But the Bible says that if you sow to please God, if you follow the path of God, and you make those choices, upright choices, godly choices, choices guided by the wisdom of the Eternal One, the All-Knowing One, the Almighty God, then you will reap a harvest of life. That's what God wants to give you. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. He does not want you to have death. He does not want you to have brokenness. There's a difference between brokenness and trials. There's a difference between being shattered by sin and being broken and contrite before God. There's a difference. God wants us to have a broken heart before God, but He doesn't want you to have a shattered life as a result of sin and dysfunction. So tonight, the first week we talked about habits that change your life, and we talked about spiritual habits. We talked about making Christ the Lord of your life. We talked about getting in the Word of God every single day, and we talked about developing a habit of humility and self-examination. The following week, we talked about our attitudes, our perspectives, our outlooks on life, our thought life, and how we look at life. The time after that, we talked about our relationships, habits that change your relationships. Relationships come down to habits that you build over and over and over. You can choose God's commands as your habits to forgive, to love, to put the needs of others first, to accept one another, to encourage one another, to take the second position, to be a servant, or you can assert your rights, you can press forward, you can hold on to wrongs, you can get resentful, you can get bitter, you're not going to have good relationships. The Bible tells us how to do that. But tonight I want to talk about something that I want you to know before I get into it. There's going to be a wide variety of opinions on this. All right? So what I'm going to try to do is stick to a framework laid out in the Scripture. I'm going to try to give you some application. And I'll try to give enough qualifiers that you don't walk away thinking, well, the only right way is Mark's way, because that's not what I'm trying to say. But I'm going to have to give some practical applications, so that's what I'm going to do. All right? So tonight what I want to talk about is a simple way to change your finances and your health. Because God cares very much about both. God cares about your finances and God cares about your health. And those two areas come down to making wise choices and developing wise habits. And if you don't, both will suffer. Both will cause you a lot of stress and a lot of chaos and a lot of discouragement in your life. So we're going to start by reading a verse out of Proverbs chapter 24, and I will help you understand how this verse applies. Proverbs 24, 30, 34. One day, I walked by the field of an old lazy man. Or as the Amplified says, old lazy bones. And then I passed by the vineyard of a sluggard. They were overgrown with weeds, thick with thistles, all the fences broken down. And I looked long and I pondered what I saw. The fields preached me a sermon and I listened. A nap here and a nap there, a day off here and a day off there. Sit back, take it easy, be a slacker, and you know what comes next? Just this. You can look forward to a dirt poor life with poverty as your permanent house guest. All right, this is very profound. This scripture applies, this wisdom applies to an awful lot in our lives. You and I, today in our modern world, we don't have fields, right? We don't have a field with a broken down barn door and all the cows are running everywhere that someone can walk back and look at. No, what we have are habits that are observable by other people. And they're observable by ourselves. We can be the kind of person that's constantly short of money, constantly in debt, constantly struggling financially. That's observable. We can be a person who's constantly struggling with our health, constantly struggling with our health over and over again. And there are ways that we don't need to do that. Now, when I say health, I'm not talking about, you know, I got the flu. I got cancer, depending, of course, on where the source of cancer was. And we'll get into that in just a moment. A person who chooses, let's just put it really simply, I'll give you a simple example. A person who chooses of their own volition to smoke every day over and over and over and over and over again is deliberately, nonsensically doing damage to their health by choice every single day of their life. Now that's a choice you make. And when cancer comes storming in, as it often does, that wasn't some accident of fate or something beyond your control. It was a choice that you made. It cost you financially, and it cost you in quality of life, and it's going to do great detrimental damage to your health. It's just a fact. God really, truly wants to spare you from those kinds of things, because he loves you. And so what he's tried to do is give you wisdom ahead of time. See, he tries to give us, if we'll listen, he tries to give us wisdom ahead of time. A lot of times, of course, just like with some of our parents offered us really good advice, and we just kind of put cotton in our ears or plugged our ears and went, nah, I'm not listening. And we did our own thing, and we suffered the consequences. Laziness is shown in not taking responsibility for our lives and making the right things happen. Laziness and disorganization makes life hard, stressful, frustrating, and unsuccessful. So tonight, what I want to do, and I'm going to do my very best to get through these tonight because they're very, very important, is I want to try to make living for you as simple and as easy as possible through wise planning. Okay? I'm going to try to help you understand how simple it is to actually manage your money. Now, for those of you that are going to the money management class that we have, Financial Peace University, this will complement that. I would encourage you, all of you who can go to it, go to it. Keep going to it. You're going to learn a lot. But what I want to try to do is give you finances for dummies tonight. Okay? Because I'm a dummy. I've been doing this plan for 30-some years. I didn't grow up with a great financial background. I didn't grow up understanding all the great wizardry of finances. Basically, I grew up with this. I make money, spend money. It's simple, isn't it? Make it, spend it. I mean, what's the fun of making it if you're not going to spend it? And, of course, when I had a girlfriend in my life, well, she was the object of my expenditures. I spend it. Spend it. Spend it. Never saved any, never had any. It was gone as soon as I could get it, and I spent it on fun things. So then I got married, and of course, I began to realize I have new responsibilities, and there was some things that came into our life that literally were beyond my control. They were. I'm not going to get into them, but there were some things that happened that, wow, okay. And so now God put me into a situation in which I had to learn some really, really important lessons. It was kind of like God put me in a straitjacket. Now, I could have jumped out of the straitjacket. I could have ran from the trial. I could have ran from the problem. But because I was reading my Bible, because I had a fear of God, I knew, wow, if I follow God's yellow brick road, this will eventually change. So, money management made easy. Making living as simple and easy as possible through wise planning, diligent, consistent effort, and getting yourself organized. Okay, so I'm going to show you the Mark Darling way for success founded on the scriptures. Okay, so this is founded on the Bible. This isn't my genius. This is for those of you out there that are like me, that the simpler things are, the better they are. All right? I'm of the persuasion that life has gotten way too complicated for most of you. You've got stuff on your computer here, stuff on your phone there, you got this over here, that over there, and you're coming and you're going. I'm sitting at the airport traveling last week, and I just cannot believe that people cannot hardly function. They can't hardly function without punching into their phone texting. Everybody of every age. And I'm like, I wanted to stand up and shout from the mountaintops, hey, turn them off. You're not that important. Get a little downtime. Create a little space in your life. And then it's really bad. What's really bad is you go in the bathroom, right? It's packed and there's, of course, noises. And, yeah, George, that's me. Yeah, right. Well, I don't know. Well, I tried to tell him what the deal was. I'm like, turn off your phone. You're in the toilet. And then you got the girl with her coffee and her thing. Texting. Like, gee-many Christmas. Okay, so this is called simple. I raised 4 kids and did a lot of other stuff with this 6-column analysis pad for $1 from Target. Okay? So for those of you that want simple, we're going to just do really simple. Believe me, most of you in this room aren't even doing this. So I want to encourage you to please think about this. First of all, at the top of the page, put the month. Okay, it's called March 2011, all right? Top of the page, all right? Second thing, in this column right over here, this is the left side of the page, if you were looking at the page. You're going to write down each and every monthly expense that has to be paid. Not the ones that don't have to. Things that you have to pay. Your rent, the gas in your car, the insurance on your car, the electric bill, your phone bill, etc. Things that have to be paid. That'll be important in just a moment. All right? Down here on the right side of your page, you'd be surprised how many people don't have this on the tip of their tongue. They just have no idea. I go, well, how much do you make? I don't know. Well, how much do you take home every month? I don't know. Well, what's your net? I don't know. Great. How many hours in a day? 24. It's real hard. It's real difficult to make wise use of your day if you don't know how many hours there are. It's a lot more difficult to make wise use of your money. You don't even know how much is coming in. You ought to just know it. Unless you're on commission sales and one day's up, one day's down. Then we just try to get an average. All right? So at the bottom over here, you're going to write down how much you bring home every month. So if it's, you know, it doesn't matter to me, you know, I make $65,000 a year. What do you bring home? So that's what you got to live on. So let's just say it's $4,000. So you put that $4,000 right over there, $4,000. All right? It's not hard to do. I've been doing it, and I ain't a smart guy. I'm a wise guy, but I'm not a smart guy. I don't understand physics. I don't understand chemistry. I don't understand biology, words, equations. I understand some words. But I'm talking about the big words that the intellectual elite try to use to make you feel stupid that you don't need to know anyway to live life successfully. Okay? And I was going to bring some today on the other topic I'm going to talk about just to read them to you today. I was reading today 10 myths about fitness. So I'm reading down. This is on one of the news programs. I won't say which newspaper. And I'm reading down and I'm like, okay, I'm a very well-read person. I even look up words I don't know in the dictionary. I'm reading along. You've got to be kidding me. Somebody just showing off words that the average layman can't even comprehend. So we're going to make you comprehend this, all right? So here's what you do. You write down your expenses over here. You write down how much you take home. Then you subtract, and hopefully you can subtract, your expenses from what you bring home and find out what you have left. What you have left now tells us what kind of decisions you can make. All right, now let's go back to the expenses. I want to be very clear about this. I'm just going to use a couple examples. Your Starbucks habit shouldn't go in this column. I'm talking about obligations that you cannot get out of. I'm not talking about right now, just the fun things you want to do, you want to spend on. I'm not talking about movie money. I'm not talking about eating out money. I'm saying let's find out what your bottom line is. What do you absolutely have to pay every month to live? That would include a food budget And we're going to get to food tonight, by the way. That'll be about 10 o'clock. So your children will be okay. All right. And then over here, is going to be what you make. So now, let's see, this number over here is to live, is $2,800. You bring home $4,000, that leaves $1,200. $1,200. Now we're going to look at that $1,200 and we're going to begin to think through, all right, what should I do with that money? What should I do with that money? Okay? So, here's the thing to think about. If your expenses are more than you make, cut your expenses or get another part-time job. Because most of you have debt, we want to help you get out of debt. All right? So if your expenses are more than you make, you have about three options. You can start applying while you have this job for a better job that pays more money, that's full-time. At the same time, start cutting unnecessary expenses, because a lot of you are probably thinking, well, my Blockbuster's necessary. And I'm going to get to this tonight too. My $62 Lifetime Fitness is necessary. No, it isn't. And I know, I told you I'm going to step on toes tonight. So you can write me later, smack me, it's okay. And you can have different convictions on this tonight too, by the way. I'm just going to give you some really good advice that you can go home, you can think about. And then if you want to throw it all out, you can throw it all out. But what I want to try to do is help you get a grasp on your money so your money isn't beating you in the ground all the time. All right, so you aren't dealing with all this unnecessary stress. So we step back and then we ask, so you see, for example, here's what I want to show you. Let's just say that you found out, well, Mark, I'm really trying to cut expenses. Did you know that you could join Fitness 19 for $11.13 a month instead of $62 to Lifetime Fitness? That's a savings of about $51 every month. Oh, and you're the kind of person that doesn't save. Well, now you can put $51 at least in the bank. You think, well, that's nothing to start with. Do you know what Proverbs says? The wise man makes his wealth grow little by little by little. $50 a month times 12 months is what? $600 in a year. That's more than you've got now saved. I know it. Some of you, that would be a monumental achievement. I've got $600 saved. Just by a little, dinky, tiny decision. But it can get better than that. Next thing you want to do is pay off your debts. When you look at that $1,200 now that's left, you want to go, all right, I'm adding $300 more a month to my debts. I don't care what I have to sacrifice, and we'll get to that in a moment, because some of this will take sacrifice to get you in a stable place financially. But it all starts with getting it down on paper in front of you. No more lying to yourself, no more pretending. Get it down. It's so easy. This is a lot faster than the computer. Have you ever tried pushing numbers on the computer? I have. A pencil writing numbers is a lot faster. Now, typing words, that's faster. But doing the number thing, it's like, you know, you're like, did I get that right? Shoot, decimals in the wrong place. Write it down on paper. It's so much faster. And you keep a little, this, by the way, you don't tear out. It's a whole notebook. So it says, I've got 15 years worth of these notebooks. My safety deposit box. No, I'm teasing. If the house burns, the books go. That's the way it is. But your computer will burn too. But you'll tell me, but Mark, I have it safe to Google. Okay, fine. All right, start saving, even if it's 10 or 20 bucks a week, or $40 or $80 a month. Just start. I was with a young man. It was so touching. This young man came up to me last week from Salt Lake. He and I have been writing back and forth. For about 3 years, he came to know Christ when he's about 19. He's 22, newly married, just a very difficult life. He came up to me, and you know, we hugged. It was the first time I'd seen him. I met his new wife, and we talked. And when I got back to town, he told me, Mark, I've been listening to your messages and trying to follow your advice and grow over all these years since I came to Christ. And he said, so many things have changed in my life, and one of them is getting a handle on my debt and working hard. He said, a friend of mine gave me those tapes, those messages, work with a purpose. Man, did they change the way I do my job. So he just wrote me yesterday. He goes, Mark, you know, I've been working, like I told you, about 60, 65 hours a week. And my wife came up to me recently in tears that we're not getting to see each other much. But I told her, sweetheart, we're trying to pay down this debt because he's got a lot of debt. He said, you know what happened, Mark? You know what happened because I've been listening to your messages? He said, I've been doing my work so well that my bosses came to me the other day and they gave me a promotion, and I will now get to work only 40 hours and make the same amount I was making 55 hours a week. And he said, I just owe all the glory to Jesus Christ and all the credit to what he's doing in my life. No, he does owe it to Christ. He also owes it to an obedient life. You see, he followed the yellow brick road. He followed the road. I did the same thing as a young man. I had more debts. I did not anticipate I would have these kind of debts. And I got a second job, and I worked about 70, 75 hours a week for almost 3 years, just paying them down, write my little thing on the sheet here, being faithful to God, paying them down. You can do the same thing. You don't have to be a financial genius. And the last thing related to finances I want to share with you tonight is this. This can be life-transforming because it has promises from God attached to it. Start giving to God. Start giving faithfully here. Start with 3. If you're giving nothing now, start with 3%. Then work your way to 6 and get your way to 10. Because the Bible says God blesses and commands a blessing when we tithe, when we give back a tenth of our income to God. So for every dollar I make, I give God a dime. So that $4,000 a month, the tithe technically, would be $400. But maybe you're not there yet. Maybe you can't do that yet at all. So you start with 3%. And then you get to 6%. And then you get to 10. Over time, just get started and write it down and include that. You see, I include that. That isn't optional. I put that right there. I've seen God, I could tell you some stories tonight, just amazing stories of the faithfulness of God to His Word in my life when the obstacles financially were huge and unbelievable, and I just never compromised that giving to God and faithfully planning every single month, every single month. And let me end with this last thing on the money. I write down on my paper every dollar that I spend. I can show you years worth of books. They're just there. And I know, okay, we average this month on a month for food, and we average this much for gas. And then when I budget, then I can just put that average there. And I know what they are. And I try to live within those ranges. And then I just set nothing complicated, nothing super big goals. And I just try to keep putting money aside and putting money aside and share with others. And it's an amazing thing. Any of you want to write me, or I mean this, call me on the phone. I will help you. I mean that. Over the phone or write. Mark at Rock the Church. All right, now we're going to get into your health, okay? Your health. Now listen really carefully to this, because I know what I say here tonight, there's lots more to say about it, but to be honest, it's been made way too complicated. The same with money. It's been way too complicated. It's been made way too complicated. And the same is true with health, and I'll give you a couple examples. Health and fitness does not have to be complicated or ultra difficult. None of us here is paid to be a pro athlete. And yet some of us try to work out like we are. Nobody in this room is a paid professional athlete. We are ordinary people living for Jesus Christ and His purposes. But some people, I'm not just speaking here, but in our world, are making fitness into a new religion. And that is not what it has to be in order to be healthy or fit, nor what God would want it to be. Many are deriving their self-esteem from their definition and the tone of their bodies. or their physical accomplishments. But this is a false sense of self-worth and will lead to an imbalanced life and misplaced priorities. We have turned sports into a national religion. This is the truth, folks. Man, I'm telling you, sports, fitness, every channel you turn on, every body that you see, every magazine you walk by, it's just the body, the body, the body, the body, the body. And we've turned it into a form of worship. You do not have to do that to be fit and healthy. You can learn to integrate fitness into everyday life so that you can be effective with it and so you can succeed. Now, I want to make a comment on this television show. My wife loves it. I know a lot of people love it. And it's a very touching show. And it's got a very good goal. It's called The Biggest Loser. Some of you have probably seen it. Maybe some of you here really like it. And I want you to know, again, I think it's one of those few beneficial shows. But, I want to make a couple editorial comments on the show. There are some things that set you up psychologically for the wrong thing. I would rather follow Jared the Subway guy than people who get to live on a camp with a high-paid personal trainer working out 8 hours a day who are for a game show trying to lose that much weight in that short of time. I'd rather change your whole life. I'll go with Jared the Subway guy any day of the week. Because what he did is integratable into your life. It's real. He's ordinary, and he lost 400 or 500 pounds. Because one day, he just got tired of his life. He could hardly get off the couch. He was huge. He decided to go. He developed it himself. And I'm not saying this is the diet to do. He decided, I'm going to walk around the block. I'm going to start with a walk around the block. He could barely get around the block. And he went on a Subway diet. He had himself a wheat Subway sandwich, 6-inch, and one in the evening, and he went, drank a Diet Coke. I'm not telling you to do that. We're going to get to food in a minute. We're going to do the whole thing tonight. Okay? And it does not have to be complicated. And Jared became the national spokesman for Subway, not because he set out to do it, not because he set out to win a game, but because he decided, I want to change my life, and he did what anybody in this room could do. He started to walk. He got up and moved, and he walked, and he brought it in to every day of his life. And some of us, you see, what we're trying to attain is the Jessica Alba body. And it's sad. It's set. I mean, a woman gets paid. I mean, come on. 5 hours a day, Madonna travels around with a gym. Sylvester Stallone travels around with a gym and a semi-truck. Not to mention, she's probably used steroids. And we're bombarded with it every single day, and it's a lie. And then we're just pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. And we're like, we got more important things to do, folks. Worship God and reach a world that's lost for the gospel. But our health matters and it matters to God. So let me tell you something. You're not going to meet many. Listen, I don't live my life to run marathons. If you run them as a hobby, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that's not really the primary goal of life. You're not going to find many 55-year-old guys in the kind of shape that I'm in. You're just not going to find it. Okay? And there are just some simple, basic things I have been doing for years. For 25 years. Push-ups. Crunchies. I bought an elliptical trainer off Craigslist. A friend helped me get. Before that, it was an exercise bike that I bought cheap for 80 bucks. And I just get on the elliptical trainer, and I have a prayer walk every single morning. When I travel and usually go in these hotels, they don't have good equipment. You know what I do? I just walk, if it's cold out, brutal cold, I walk the floors fast. 5 a.m., no one's up. And I pray as I walk down the steps, pray every floor, down the steps, then back up the steps, every floor, down the steps. If I want to get more of an intense workout, you know what I do? I just walk the stairs. Just go up and down the stairs. Try that for 20 minutes, see what happens. No, just try. Oh, that's easy, Mark. Okay, just walk up the stairs, walk down your stairs, walk up your stairs, walk down your stairs. Then you've got, talk about saving money. You don't have to be complicated. I mean, you've got exercise videos, and I'm not talking PX90 either. You want to do PX90? Let me tell you something. for most of you, it's not going to be life sustainable. You might be able to muster it for 3 months. And then you're going to go, okay, this is really taxing. You know why? Because you don't need it. You don't need to be a PX90 person. You do need to learn to walk, move, get active for 30 minutes every day. You need to learn, and I would incorporate it as a prayer walk. You need to learn to do a little strength training. Anybody can stand and do these. Anybody. They're free. Okay, they're free. Now watch me now. Stay with me now. Come on. Oh, come on. Okay, anybody can stand and do toe raises, work the calves, stay with me now. Yeah, I mean, jiminy Christmas, people. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to make fun of stuff. I'm just trying to say, have we just become children that we cannot manage our own lives? That we cannot just drop down and go, jiminy Christmas, I can do 10 push-ups. And then a little later on, I'll do 10 more. Then a little later on, I'll do 10 more. They've got these little handles you can buy so you don't hurt your wrists. And you know, a really neat trick is just do them over stairs. And then you just hold your hand like that and you don't hurt your wrist by flattening it all the way out. Push-ups are one of the most perfect exercises you can do. Works a lot of muscles in your body. You want to keep strong. You got to do stuff. But it does not have to be complicated and it doesn't have to cost you a lot of money. Now, that's generalization for many of the people in here. If you want to keep paying the gym fee, there's no problem with that. If you want to go to the gym, if you want to do this, you want to do that, that's up to you. But I'm telling you, you want to call me on the phone? I'll help you. I've done it for others. I will help you. What you have to provide is the resolve. You have to do it. I've been doing it. I'm going to keep doing it. Because God has asked me to be a faithful steward of my body. And he's asked you to do the same thing. The last thing that I want to talk about is you've got to develop new eating and drinking habits. Let me tell you, most people overwork out because then they think they can eat terrible. See? We have turned eating. I want to read you what I wrote because I think it's really true. Develop new eating and drinking habits. Learn to live like Germans do. I'll comment on that in a moment. Start developing good eating habits. This also doesn't have to be complicated. Just go out and buy the right things and have them on hand and start eating them. You don't have to get fancy or complicated. You don't have to have a ton of variety. That's another lie. You need all this variety. No, you don't. You need some essential things every single day. The vast majority of the world doesn't have variety. We have turned, listen to this very carefully, we have turned eating in America. Well, Proverbs says, the wise man eats to live and the foolish man lives to eat. The wise man eats to live. The foolish man lives to eat. You can look around in America and see that most people are very foolish. They simply live to eat. They live to eat. This is what America's become from our restaurants to our fancy grocery stores. We have made eating into an experience to live. Some kind of rush is necessary. Some palate orgasmic experience from food. Forgetting that, basically, it's the fuel of life and the nutrients in it were designed to help keep our body well and healthy. That's it. But we almost want some kind of sexual experience from food. And when you start to examine your budget and you go back and look at how much you're spending eating out, and the vast majority of that food is not healthy food, it'll blow your mind. They have lots of calories. Lots of calories in that food. So, I have been, for years and years, along with my wife, we live a very simple food life. Very simple. People look at food like it's supposed to excite them, and if it doesn't excite them, they get bored with their food. I'm just going to go through basically simple little things I do with food. You can decide what you want to do, all right? But it's very important that you combine healthy fitness with nutritious, good food. Now, I realize I'm not going to cover all the ground because some of you have health issues and your food needs are way over here, but some of you are way over here in the unhealthy zone. All right? So every single day, every single morning, I start my morning with water and a protein shake that has the nutrients, the vitamins in it that I need. That's what I do. I'm saying you have to do that. You don't have to do that. That's what I do. And then about 2 hours later, I have a bowl of oatmeal with a little coconut oil mixed in it and a little honey mixed in it, raw honey, every single morning, and a little piece of banana. And it tastes like liquid banana bread. It's really good. It's really cheap. And then you see about 11 o'clock, my wife comes down, and we the only bread we eat are 7 sprouted grain, whole living grains from Valley Natural. They're muffins, English muffins. And she brings me down an organic scrambled egg with a muffin, half a muffin, with olive oil butter on it. And that's what I have. My only treat, the only treat I eat, is dark chocolate bars. I get them from Trader Joe's. I do most all my shopping at Trader Joe's. You can do that if you want. I'm not getting paid for this commercial, by the way. But here's the thing. I do all the shopping in our family. So I've been to Kowalski's, I've been to Barley's, I've been to Valley Natural, I've been to Aldi, I've been to Walmart, I've been to Super Target, I've been to them all. Wives says, you know, I've been to iHerb.com, I've been Trader Joe's, gives you a great bang for the buck, and they have some very, very healthy choices that you can make in that store. It's owned by a German, and here's what the richest Germans did. Their name is the Albrecht brothers. They shortened it to Aldi. Germans live very austere lives. I've seen it firsthand. It's a beautiful thing. They cut out all the choices. Sometimes if you ever walk in a store and you're like, or you look at a menu and your head just starts going, what do I choose? What do I choose? So Mr. Aldi and his brother decided, you know what? Half these things people don't need. Let's just make the choice for them. We won't stock them. And then the stuff we stock, we'll make sure we can keep the price really low. Some days I eat 6 apples in a day. When I get the munchies, I just grab an apple. I just grab another apple. Some days I go through a whole bag of blood oranges. They're called blood oranges. They're really good. They're just because they're red inside instead of orange. Some days I eat half a bag. I don't care. And then I have my dark chocolate bars. And that's it. And then I won't tell you a couple other things that I do, but the other thing I do is I buy this peppered deli turkey breast from Trader Joe's. It's really good. I personally like it. You may not like that. That's fine. You can buy something different. And I don't make a fancy sandwich. I just go up, grab a plate, take a few slices of it out, put it on the plate, toast another half a muffin, and I just go eat. That's what the Germans do. They don't make a sandwich. They just eat. They just eat the muffin. They just eat the deli meat every single day. And then I eat chili Thai covered cashews from Trader Joe's. That's it. That's my diet. Once in a while, I have some black bean soup that I keep up in the cupboard. And I just eat it day in, day out. When I was staying with Steele and Kim out in Utah, he goes, Mark, can we do anything? You want anything fancy? I said, no. Well, Mark, it just seems like, you know, you're just eating a piece of toast. And I said, listen, I'm easy, Steele. I'm easy. He said, well, you like Chipotle? I said, I love Chipotle. He said, well, you out there? I said, I want one taco. One taco? Yeah, one taco with carnita and black beans, a little bit of cheese, and lots of the romaine lettuce. Are you sure that's it? I said, that's it. If I could have one of those every day, it'd be fine. I just eat it every day. Now, I know to some of you I'm really weird. Like, well, maybe I'm beyond weird. You're like, I'm never coming back here again. Okay? All right. And you may think, well, Mark's really eccentric. And that's okay, too. But I can tell you this. I bet $100 my cholesterol's better than your parents. My blood pressure's better than your parents. My heart rate's better than your parents. I work out more than your parents. And these simple things can change your life. You don't have to develop the same identical food taste. You could have something else. Every day, one other thing my wife does, she makes this salad for us the whole week at the beginning of the week. She takes red romaine lettuce, baby spinach, shredded carrots, fresh broccoli. That's the only way I eat vegetables. Raw with Paul Newman's olive oil and vinegar dressing every single evening. Same ones. A little salt, a little pepper. I'm in heaven. I can like lick the bowl. It's really good. It's really good. Not a hard guy to please. Doesn't cost a whole lot of money. And it's packed with nutrients. It's packed with nutrients. I'm only sharing these things with you tonight, honestly, truly, because I care about you. Because I care about you. I'm trying to get practical with the principles of the Word of God. You could plug in different things for yourself. But the main thing I want you to do, I'd like to ask you to do, is go home this weekend, sit down, please sit down, and really think through your life. Honestly sit down and go, all right, what can I change? Because I had to do the same thing. I do the same thing with my money. I had to do the same thing with my health. Many, many years ago, I sat down and I realized, okay, I regularly sit here and read a book and eat a whole bag of chips. I regularly sit here and make a whole bag of microwave popcorn. I eat the whole thing. I'm starting to wear it all. I don't have much energy to play with my children. I wrestle with them and I'm panting in about a minute. And every birthday's matching my waist. I don't like this. I don't like this. This is not going to be good. And this is not, children are interesting, and this is not going to set a good example for my children. So I just decided I'm changing. This is a beautiful power that God gives us. I'm changing. And so I made little plans, little ones, and I built on those, and then I added a few more, and then I added a few more. I took all the pop out of my head. I just drank lots of water. You say, Mark, that'd be so tough. Probably is. Probably like for some alcoholics, going off alcohol. But I knew it was destroying my teeth, and it was destroying my health, and all that sugar. I just had to get rid of it for me. And so I did it. And I did it. And then I made another little step. And then another little step. And then another little step. And then another step. And now it arrived to this package. And that package has been going on now for years. Start. Please start. If I can help you, I mean this. If I can help you, please call me. Please call me on the phone. I will talk through your individual life. I mean this. Or write me. I want to help you. And I want to help you learn to succeed in these areas that is really killing so many other people. It's hurting them. They're being hurt. Society as a whole does not care about your pocketbook or your health. All they care is about selling more things to you. They manipulate you. They pull you around like you had a ring in your nose, and you end up suffering greatly for it. Jesus came to set you free from lots of things that the world wants to enslave you to. Your appetites, our lust for more things, our lust for more things. And God can teach us the power of contentment, of healthy choices, of healthy habits. You do not have to continue the cycle that you may have been taught when you were growing up. You can break out of that. Let's pray. Next week we'll have a new series. I will not be doing habits, in case you were wondering. I won't be. Father, I just thank you tonight for the Word of God. Lord, your Word, my goodness, it has so much to say about living, so much to say about money, so much to say about health, so much to say about food and the stewardship of this body that you gave us. Lord, I wished I had hours, a whole weekend, a conference to do an expose on all the ways in which society and the things they press on us and advertise to us that we put into our mouth or that we spend our money on is actually ruining lives. But I just don't have time tonight. I just pray that these young men and women would take you at your word. They would get into your word, that you'd give them insight and wisdom and determination to change their reality by the power and the grace of God and the wisdom from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can join us downstairs for some really good sugar-filled cookies, okay? Last time we were here, there was healthy stuff, but tonight's a treat. God bless you guys. God bless you guys. God bless you guys. God bless you guys.